You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. I mean, I do feel like I got to say, Joaquin Phoenix playing a sad, crazy guy isn't exactly a stretch for him as an actor. It's kind of his wheelhouse.
You know, I think the way that he affected Fozzie Bear's voice to the whole thing was a strong choice. Waka, waka, waka.
I think that was cut out for copyright reasons.
Yeah.
We are, of course, talking about Joker, the movie that half of America has already decided that we should ban before seeing.
Do not
seeing
see
it.
This movie.
Oh, God damn
you
it.
You cannot see this movie. You, when incels?
When did the liberals become what Republicans have been traditionally all along? Like, no, I don't like that, so we should ban
you
it.
You can't see this movie. Do not release it in theaters. It's going to cause riots on the streets.
It's going to kill Hillary Clinton.
But her emails.
But her emails.
It's going to kill her emails.
Honestly, the most Joker thing you can do is just go to this movie but not pay to see it. Just sneak in. You want to cause some real fucking anarchy?
You know what the most
piss
Joker
off Todd
thing?
Phillips by sneaking into the movie and not paying.
The most Joker thing you can do is just sit at home and, like, cry and, like, not get laid.
That's how the Joker became
that's
the
called yeah, right. life.
That's, yeah. No, except that he can't cry. He can only laugh.
Right. Yes. You got to go to the closest Hot Topic and get your makeup on and spend about $300 on merchandise for a nice jacket you can get at the thrift store.
He sounds like Ricky Ricardo in this whole fucking thing.
Yeah, Hot Topic is going to make a fucking fortune off the merchandising for this film.
I mean, whoever thought we would see Joaquin Phoenix physically transform himself and play an emotionally unstable, depressed person living with his mother and then eventually exploding into an orgy of violence. Oh, wait, I just described Lynn Ramsey's You Were Never Really Here. But only dozens of people saw that movie, and several many more will see this one.
I thought you were talking about Shia LaBeouf for a second.
The thing is, people are lining up to see this one. I was shocked to see how long the line was for this.
Really?
We see lines for any given superhero film. This movie has gotten, like, critically acclaimed, but lots of, like, people very angry at it before they've even seen it.
Well, people are muttering about it angrily on Twitter and social media. But who cares? You know, people did that about the Dave Chappelle special, and guess what? Lots of people watched it, and it made tons of money.
And the people muttering in this case, I'm Chris.
I'm Zach.
I'm Sammy.
I'm Marco.
Bo.
Sammy, the Mexcellence, joining
I'm
us.
I'm back. I took half a day off of my real job to do this because I had to see if the incels were taking over.
Hey, you're Mexican? You only have one job?
That's right.
No, this is my second one, actually. I get paid 1 cent just for the tax benefits.
I was going to say, I mean, I feel embarrassed to be around you guys. You just work so much harder than I do.
I take calls all day. I do this all day, just talking the phone, lying to people.
Fair.
Just like what I'm going to do right now.
Oh, shit. Well, Joker is the product of, which really kind of made me go, huh?
Yeah.
Todd Phillips, who is traditionally known for very mediocre comedy films.
Yes.
Which
he can't make anymore because of the internet.
Yeah, which he's now said that, like, well, I can't do it because people will, like, get mad at anything you try to be funny with. I'm like,
so I'll make the Joker. No one will be upset about this.
Yeah.
No, what could go wrong? But, like, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to make a serious film. DC, who has had odd decisions all along of who to get to run to do their superhero movies, was like, sure, that sounds fine. And let's do a very 70s Scorsese-ish comic book movie about the origin of the Joker pre-Batman, and
well, really,
we're making no superheroes in it.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a comic book movie per se.
It's not,
other than the fact it's like the title character, you know, derives that is derived from the Batman stories, but you know, this is a pay on to, you know, Scorsese-ish 70s cinema. There's a lot of the King of Comedy in this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even to the degree of casting Robert De Niro in it.
In case you didn't get it.
Finger guns, anyone?
Yeah, the finger gun. Yeah.
But how many times are they going to show that finger gun?
All right, calm your tits.
I was kind of worried that that was going to be so heavy-handed, it would just be a parody of itself. And it's not. And they do a very good job of using the values and using the lighting effects and the cinematography of, like, okay, this has the feel of one of those movies.
This has good lighting. This movie has excellent lighting.
Yeah, and I love it when Joe Pesci comes out as the Penguin and he just starts saying, am I a fucking joke to you? It's like, oh, wait, that was the movie I was writing in my head as I was watching.
I want to watch that movie. Yeah. It's a shine box and everything.
This is set in the 70s in pre-Giuliani Gotham.
Yeah.
I was holding on to that one. You know, it's like they're like, the city's being invaded by super rats.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a garbage strike. So they're conjuring up like that mid-70s New York City where everything is just really, really, really
gross.
Right. Yeah. It is New York. I mean, that's one of my issues with this film is that it's so Scorsese-ish. It's so set in that late 70s, 80s milieu. I think this film wants to have it both ways. It wants to say that it's somehow relevant, but it also wants to be taken seriously on the level of those classic films. And I'm like, if you want to be relevant, you know, New York is still around today.
And there's
still plenty of crummy parts. Why set it in the 70s or 80s? Because the themes in there are so relevant to today. It seems like he was soft pedaling, like, well, that wouldn't happen.
Well, if you set it today, then it's the origin for Batman Beyond.
You could easily set this day if you want. You know, a place where the streets are filled with garbage, human excrement, and drug paraphernalia.
Detroit, go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Detroit works too.
Yeah,
Chicago.
True, lots of options there, but it is indeed part of the Batman universe, as it were, and as much a standalone, not really part of the bigger storyline in any connected to any previously existing thing as much as
Elseworlds.
Or any movie or TV version of Batman ever made. Mm-hmm. None of them tie directly into the comic book. So people
Which is good. Of course, I don't really want this to be hooked up into any kind of existing movie mythology. You know, because first of all, you'd be dealing with Batman beating the shit out of a 65-year-old man.
That's right. Yeah.
but you know, Batman beyond that.
But it's Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah. He's like a professional clown in a really shitty talent agency. He's not terribly good at it. But
he's crying. It opens, and he's trying to make himself smile. That's like the opening scene. He's crying. He's not happy.
Yeah, he's a sad
clown.
He's a crying on the inside kind of clown.
He lives in a shitty apartment with his mom, played by Frances Conroy, who is disabled, but basically just because she's old.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
She's got some issues.
Yeah, she's got some issues.
Which makes zero sense because he is, like, an insane person. They make it very clear that he's insane. And yet, for some reason, he's caring after his mother.
Well, I don't know about you, but my wife is a social worker, and I can tell you right now, nobody gives a fuck anymore. Right, yeah. And that's one of the things this movie addresses.
There's like 100 beds for sick people in Austin.
He's insane, except for when he's caring for his mother, and then he's not insane, and he'll laugh, and she's all like, why do you think that's funny? It's like, do you not fucking know? You know that he has a thing wrong with his head where he laughs even when he does little things like that.
Kind of lobotomized, so maybe that's escaping her.
Yeah, she's not all there. And Heath does, as you mentioned, has like a mental condition where he carries around a little card saying, hey, I have a neurological disorder that causes me to just not be able to stop myself from laughing. And he's got that, hey, really annoying, like a Robert De Niro in Cape Fear laugh, you know. you're like, oh, shit.
It's rough.
Yeah. And he is having a really hard time dealing with all the stuff in this world that he lives in that sucks, as anyone would to some degree. But he's also, like I said, he's mentally disabled. He's fucked up. And as the story goes on, we learn more and more about, well, why is he this way? And what is the deal with his mom? And it definitely introduces some ideas into a Joker origin story, which have not to my knowledge, been explored before.
No. I thought that was a welcome addition, yeah. Which I won't spoil.
There's some very distinct differences here. One of the which kind of surprised me is they, like, most versions of the Joker that I know of, he is portrayed as having a fair amount of intelligence. He's, you know, crazy as a loon, obviously, but, you know, he does have a high degree of intelligence.
That's his superpower.
In this, Phoenix is kind of playing him as a bit of a man-child, you know, that he's, you know, he's not a particularly good speller, you know, he hasn't had any thing of an education, and he's, you know, kind of, he's like, I want to be a clown, and I want to be a comedian, but he doesn't have enough wherewithal to realize that he's not very funny.
Right, yeah. And he's isolated in the sense that he only cares for his mother, very much like what was the movie? God damn it, the old ass movie with stabbing and the grandma and the mother. God damn it,
the old ass movie with the stabbing and the grandma.
I had a beer and I'm very, very
that's
tired.
That's back how Hitchcock pitched it. It's an old ass woman,
but yeah,
who gets stabbed. But, or is it a son? It could be either.
But not socialized enough to know that he's not. He's not good around people. He fancies himself good around people. Right. He fancies himself charming.
Old ass woman killer.
I was like, you know that Psycho movie?
Rewriting that one, David. That lyric doesn't quite work.
But he has all these things in his life that are sort of like we see pushing him towards a breakdown, which we've seen in the past. He's had one. He's been in and out of a psychiatric institute.
Right.
But he is desperately trying to claw onto any degree of sanity in a city that has gone completely wild, which is indeed aligned with traditional Batman lore. I mean, the idea that Gotham had become such a raging shithole.
He's kind of like a Bernie Getz type figure, that guy on the subway who just finally has had one situation to
him. He has a point where like he's basically attacked by some rich yuppie assholes and he shoots them. And much to his surprise, half the city is like, fucking A, fuck rich people, fuck them, fuck Thomas Wayne, the guy who went on TV and apologized to the world. Oh, I'm so sad that anybody who works for the Wayne family is family. And
that's why you should vote for me.
I'm the mayor.
Because only I can fix it.
Is this the first portrayal ever of Thomas Wayne as being just like a total prick?
No. They did it in the Batman games, not the Arkham Asylum ones, but the Telltale games.
Oh, okay.
So there's a very similar where, like, he's a doctor that puts a bunch of people in Arkham, like, and is kind of like a villain.
There's
it's
a reason why they took Alec Baldwin out of this movie, because he was originally cast in that role, but somewhere along the line he kind of became famous for impersonating Donald Trump, and it would just be too on the nose now.
Right.
That's way too on the nose. I mean, because he was originally in that role, I believe. And then there, somewhere along the line, it just didn't happen. But I'm sure the conversation was, damn, this seemed really cool and edgy when we hired you, Alec. But you do this every Saturday night now.
I pay good money to see them, like, re-edit that scene.
Yeah, got them.
The guy comes to kill him, and suddenly he pulls his brim down and disappears into the shadows.
See, I'm thinking more of, like, a Donald Trump. Greatest Gotham. I'm running for mayor. It's going to be the great. So much Gotham. So much winning.
It's terribly so tired of winning. Make Gotham great again. It's Magaga. I think that's what that. It just doesn't sound good on a hat.
I mean,
Magaga.
Magaga.
I like Magaga.
I think regardless of what you might think of any of the actual content of this film, I really have to salute Phoenix, who, for playing this type of role before, is really just has just lost himself in it completely and turns in what I thought was a mesmerizing performance.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He is definitely the reason to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. He's Joaquin Phoenix. He is kind of one of those spiritual heirs to guys like De Niro and Daniel Day-Lewis, these crazy, insane method actors who go, doesn't matter what the movie is, that guy has probably spent 6 months just driving himself nuts, so you can be maybe entertained for 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's gone that far.
And I do feel like he really nails this character completely. Phillips is trying to create a movie that asks questions, makes you angry, and doesn't want to give you any answers. And I don't have a problem with that. It feels very kind of French in that way.
It feels like a total cop-out.
I don't think so.
There's multiple instances in this movie where there's shitty dialogue where they're like, What's the joke? What's the punchline? He's like, you won't get it. It's like there's nothing quotable in this entire movie. It says nothing.
I don't agree.
What does it
say? I think it's talking about the difficulty of the discussion, of the anger that all these people have about the divide between the rich and the poor, of the lack of understanding, of the lack of like social care, which, believe me, like I said, is much more severe than most people have any idea.
Well, that's
for people who are genuinely like need help.
That's the thing. You're saying to ask all these questions, but I hate to say it, but as a Latino American, these questions have been asked for decades of people that look like me and are like me, and we don't have an answer, but we don't become the Joker?
No.
And that's kind of the thing where it's like, oh, it's happening to this white guy in the 70s. Oh, man, we should feel really bad about it. What? But this shit happens daily. And
shit does not happen. Are you kidding? Like,
not Joker coming out and killing people.
It's so fucking contrived.
Not till after the premiere.
It's so fucking contrived. It's like these kids beat him up. The little kid on the bus that was kind of nice to him. His mom's mean to him. It's just, it's cartoonishly, everyone's just out to get him, out to beat up the little guy. It's fucking eye roll.
See, I can't go with you that far. I can say that shit's bad out there.
You're so mean to him.
You're so mean to him.
You're so mean to the Joker.
Zach is the Joker in this review.
But the thing is, it's happening. Oh, poor Arthur Fleck. They cut funding for a mental health institute, so he can't get his meds. I know a lot of motherfuckers that had no meds. Can we cuss on this podcast?
Yes.
A lot of motherfuckers on this that don't have access to their meds that they need it because they can't afford it, you know? And so they're asking these questions like, what do we do? It's like, I don't know, fucking live with it until you figure it out, right?
I mean,
and so a lot of the things that they're trying to build sympathy for the Joker, it's like, oh man, he's down on his luck and stuff. I was like, man, I can't really go with you in some of these areas.
I mean,
this
movie is not dealing with really race at all.
But
it doesn't even really enter into it as far as like part of the discussion.
Right.
And I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm going like, yeah, but this isn't a movie. This could be anyone. The only reason he's white is because the Joker has always traditionally been white.
Right. No, and I'm not.
Which I wouldn't have had a problem if he hadn't been.
He could be black because he would have been shot immediately.
That's true. That's true. Right. It actually socially would have made a difference to say, like, oh, that changes the aspect of his relationship to the city.
But that would say something in this movie doesn't
do that. Because of the color of his skin.
Well, that'd be the thing, right? So my thing is I can only go off of my experience of what I see. And so for other people to be like, oh, man, this is so awful. But for me, watching it just with my experience is like, man, this is every day for some people, and that's the way it is, right? And so it actually really doesn't. To your credit, I mean, to the point of the movie, people say that it's going to be
Do you think they're really trying to make the case that like, this is, you know, this is something that has only happened to this guy, only at this time and in this fictional verse? Because I'm not getting anything that's saying that with that kind of specificity.
Oh, yeah. It's not saying with that specificity because it doesn't have that in mind. That's the kind of thing. It's almost, just not to go too far down the thing, but it's almost just so, like, plain in the sense. Like, you look at New York and it's all, there's no diversity. It's almost like, okay, except for the
his next door neighbor is Ozzie Beetz.
His next door neighbor is Ozzie Beetz and his therapist, and that's about it, right? Everyone else in the major roles, it's like, okay. Now, I'm not trying to go too far down there because the movie's not talking about that.
Right.
But just based off of what it's kind of saying and, like, about Arthur Fleck as a character is something where it's like, I can't go down that road with him, feeling too bad for him, until it starts getting a little bit into the more kind of surreal type of
parts
of the
movie. That's the thing, is that, like, I don't think you're supposed to 100% have sympathy for this guy in particular, because he turns into the biggest mass murderer in, like, DC Comics history, right?
Right.
Like, he is a monster. The idea is to show, much like many other things have done before, well, what makes a person into that horrible of a person? It's not... A villain isn't interesting unless they have something you feel bad about them for in their past that made them.
But there's nothing here that I feel any sympathy at all. I don't feel bad for him. Like, all of that, all the revelations that he has later, it's like he doesn't even remember that shit. You know, he's like finding that out real time with the audience, and it's just like, oh, okay, well, here's just another shitty thing. That's like a plot device that we're going to use.
I think the thing that's important is that, and I've known people who've had these weird things where they just learn about these horrible things much later on in life, and it really fucks them up.
Yes, oddly enough, but, people who have been chained to a radiator and beaten severely sometimes forget that.
I was going to leave that part out, Bo, because people who pay good money to learn those kind of minor details.
Yeah, fuck them.
Man, they're not going to see this movie for the plot. That.
I take it back.
They want to see all those slow motion smoking cigarettes and dancing like an idiot.
I take it back. Bo is the Joker of this review.
He just wants to watch the world burn. Yeah. But the point I was trying to make is that I think it's clear that Arthur Fleck is already, but before the movie even begins, he is already a severely damaged, emotionally compromised person.
Right.
And we watch him on what is essentially the worst week of his life. I was still trying to figure out the timeline on this movie. I'm like, wait a minute, did all of this happen in like a week?
It's because, about a month, honestly.
Or maybe, because it all happens very quickly, but those dominoes...
It happened in about 15 minutes of writing.
You know, those dominoes start tumbling really fast.
The spice. Yeah.
See, here's the thing, whether you're listening to this, and if you're going to go see this movie or not, and chances are, if you're listening to this, you're going to go see it. What this comes down to is people have already decided whether they like this movie or not. And if you are inclined to like this kind of movie, you're probably going to dig this. And if you already dislike this kind of movie, you're probably going to come take that into the theater with you. It was very hard for me to try to just purge all my preconceived notions walking in. And I ended up thinking, I don't hate this as much as I thought I was supposed to. you know, I was ready to be outraged, and I'm like, no. But I also am not going to go out on the street and yell from every corner, oh my God, the Joker is a masterpiece and must be seen by everyone in America today. Right. This is a movie that wishes you would think that way about it. It wants so hard to be taken seriously. But this is like, you know, you could have made this movie, the exact same movie, without and just call him like crazy clown dude, but nobody goes to see that movie. They do go to see it because it has the Joker in it, and yes, it's great that they want to talk about real themes and class and so forth, but if you're going to make it relevant, put it in a modern day context and stop making me have to watch serious movies where, you know, a guy in tights might be able to pop up, because that after a while it's just like getting kids to eat their breakfast by rearranging their food into like a little happy face. Like, right. Look, oh, it's got little ears. To, you
your
know,
Cheerios are made out of kale.
Yeah, there you go. It's like, yeah.
Because I'm here going, where's the original Green Lantern? Come on.
Where's Martian Manhunter in this?
No, that's later.
Original Green Lantern was like around this time.
He wasn't right.
But he had buildings
in Gotham City. He wouldn't have been able
that's
to
true.
Might get a splinter and
oh,
die.
No, I'm magically allergic to wood.
He wasn't allergic to wood. Right. The ring just wouldn't work on stuff that was made of wood.
I'm magically allergic to wood.
Yeah, this sounds about more accurate.
This is a movie made for lots of dudes who will have experienced other women being magically allergic to their wood. Wow, brought it full circle.
Right, that was a stretch.
Man, the moment that popped in his head, he was like, that's going to be good. It's like, that's right, incels, because it's so much easier to imagine this cabal of feminists orchestrating this mass world conspiracy. That's so much easier to believe than justifying your own lack of
none faith. Of that is in this movie.
It's not. And that's the thing.
I love
the
that people
whole
are like the
conversation.
Argument.
I kept waiting.
It's not
for
even part of this at
it,
all.
It's almost a part of it with Zazie Beetz, who, let's talk about that, because that is the most thankless role in this movie.
No,
she is
shit.
A fine actor, and she gets nothing to do in this movie. God damn it, I can't talk about it anymore with spoiling it. Suffice it to say, she not used well in this movie, and I felt so bad for her. And I think her character is what's driving this incel conversation. And I don't think for a second that's what they plan to do.
So, but they bungled it so badly.
That part of the movie was, like, very... Because I didn't see I saw the twist coming about, like, 5 minutes before. But there are things that happen before the twist that I was like, this is fucking unbelievable.
I was constantly...
This is an incel. No. This does not work like this.
I was
and
constantly
then the twist happened,
questioning
and then,
it.
And yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Well, now it makes sense.
But none of that felt like it was trying to say anything about that. It was just another degree of, this guy is crazy. You know, that was not even all that important.
Sure. No, I was just saying, like, it was annoying as an audience member because I was like, this is like, who this person is doesn't make sense in this universe. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, once the twist happens, I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
Sure.
Now this makes sense, and, like, retroactively, I can't not be pissed off anymore, but I was like, none of this makes any fucking sense.
I saw where it was going, but I was very dissatisfied because I felt the execution was not what it should have been.
Yeah. Right, it's asking
another draft.
It's asking you to make a real huge leap of faith before realizing you didn't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Or setting you up for that you'd land safely on a pillow once you did that leap of faith. Because just like, huh, okay, that's just... All right, I'll go with it. And then, you know, then things happen, and you go, oh, I didn't really have to go with it, but all right, I'm glad I did, I guess.
Well, let's go ahead and get a final thoughts, and let's start off with Negative Nelly over here. Zach, see what he has to say for his final thoughts.
Well, I want to see what y'all have to say. What the fuck did y'all like about this movie? What does it have to say? What is it doing? Like, I don't know. I went into this movie seeing, like, really... stellar reviews. I saw the trailer. I thought this from the trailer that it was going to be really shitty. Then I saw the reviews and I was like, okay, well, maybe not. So Marco's probably right. Peg me. But, you know, I wanted to see it, make my opinion for myself. But yeah, I did not enjoy this. The Joker is entirely unlikable the entire movie. He sits at about an 80 IQ. So if you're cool with watching someone with an 80 IQ write sentences, drop pornography out of his stupid journal, tell unfunny jokes.
That was Taxi Driver.
And actually not tell jokes. Mm. Where he's like, hey, you know, here's the punchline, and then you don't hear it or whatever. There's so much of that. He doesn't ever... And then when he finally breaks down, he actually does say something for about 30 seconds. Can I say what he says? Or?
I don't know.
Wanted more of a George Carlin type Joker. Well, I'm getting here.
I wanted more of a Cesar Romero kind of Joker.
You know what? The 11 things you can't say on television while holding a gun to a talk show.
More of a Seinfeld. It's like, you know, dead people. What's up with that?
He's like, the movie's called Joker. I didn't laugh once.
I don't think you're supposed to.
So, so he's like, oh, you know, you care about these people that I shot, but you wouldn't care if I died on the street. And that's like the climax of the movie. That's what he says. And it's like, yeah, I wouldn't give a shit about you. You're a fucking incel loser. No one gives a shit about you.
Once again, not really an incel. The movie never has said that.
No. He is absolutely an incel.
An incel is
somebody... They do fuck with that.
An incel is somebody who takes those things that make them angry and actively starts being angry about them. That never happens in this movie.
Yeah.
That absolutely happens in this
movie. It does
He's
not.
He's involuntarily celibate. That is one of those things. He's an incel.
So you think someone who can't get laid is an incel by definition?
No.
The definition of incel is involuntarily celibate.
Right. Yeah. But to self-identify...
I was an incel until I was 18 by your definition.
Because
I couldn't, I couldn't get laid, so that would that make me an incel? No.
You were 18, so that makes sense.
Involuntarily celibate, which means you don't want to be celibate. But
the definition would be that you had to... There was something that was incapacitating you from it happening. You liking comic books is not a real incapacitation. It's just something you like. This is somebody who has something physically and or mentally wrong with them.
Yeah.
And then the part that's missing is, like you said, Chris, him acting out in that specific sexual regard.
Right.
So that's the difference in terms of the representation of it.
Well, he never, ever once in this movie is ever mad about women not paying attention to him on any level.
That's fine. That's a big part of being an insult.
Yeah. The whole culture is based around that I can't get laid because of what society values.
Right. The Chad,
if you will. Physicality. Yeah.
He has all that pornography and shit like in his thing. In his like
little. I am tons of porn.
What the fuck? And I don't get laid a lot. What does he do when he goes into her room?
At the climax of the movie. I mean, what are y'all jokers talking about?
Well, like, it's not climax.
I'll tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't rape her.
He absolutely acts out on being an incel.
But he goes into her room uninvited.
Are you kidding me? No, because here's the thing about it is that he's not going... There's nothing actually, surprisingly, other than having porn in his notebook, nothing explicitly sexual about him.
Yeah,
he requires romance. He requires comfort, fatherly comfort even.
Yeah.
But he never, which is weird that they omit that there's, I would figure him more intimidating if they added an element of sexual violence to it. That would have been like, oh my God, that's what have actually turned the table on me being like, oh shit, this is supposed to be even more repugnant of a character. But as it is.
So stalking and breaking in and entering to a female's house is not incel activity?
Has nothing to do with anger against women in this movie.
You're right.
It's never brought up on any level that. For him, it's literally.
No, he literally does that.
He's caught up in a delusion.
Right.
But he never says, I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. You should date me.
All right, well, I think this is way too sophisticated of a conversation to have about this dumbass movie.
I think that's fair.
I give this a 1 Batman v Superman out of.
Oh my god.
I say it's on. It's not as bad as Batman v Superman.
I told you the rule about referencing Batman v Superman in this house. We just don't do it.
We just don't do it.
I thought you were going to chug a beer. That movie never happened.
There's a swear jar over there. Put some money in there.
I give it 1.5 Batman v Superman's because it's definitely better than Batman v Superman. There,
okay, I'll take that. What about Bo? That's the name of the new sitcom.
Wow.
But he's tied to a chair. Really? Beaten as a chair.
Now I know how the main character feels, because I wouldn't want to go on after that act.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. I'm fine with this movie. I think it's an interesting little Elseworlds exploration. It reminded me a lot of Chris brought up Brian Azzarello. It reminds me a little bit of Azrael. Yeah, as far as I will agree with Zach, there's not a lot of meat on the bones. It isn't saying anything in particular, and it's certainly not saying anything that hasn't been said. The trick that this movie has to pull off is that it's got to do the, let's have a Travis Bickle character, but in the end we don't want him to seem admirable. And in order to do that, you can't have any catharsis when he commits crimes. And this movie completely fails to do that. Mm-hmm. And so you have the Joker ending up like an anti-hero, which I think is a shitty thing to do with this particular character for multitudes of reasons. But as a standalone movie, it's not bad. And absolutely agree with Chris that Phoenix's performance is amazing. He's a great craftsman. He sinks himself into the role. At the end of the day, I wasn't disturbed by it or put off by it. I thought it was very pretty.
Right.
And I liked
great lighting.
I liked looking at I liked Phoenix's work. But, I'm probably not going to revisit it. It's okay. That's about as far as I'm willing to go with it. Yeah, I give it 5.5 bags of uncollected garbage.
Sammy.
Yeah, I described it to you, Chris, when we got out of the theater and into your home. It's a very pretty box. It's well-crafted. The lighting's great. Everything about it is just so beautiful to look at. The music's very nice.
The slow-motion shots?
The slow-motion shots it's of him technical. Dancing for no reason for
you
17
can see
times.
Him 5 times, 6 times in this movie.
Dancing for no reason.
Cigarettes
and smoke and the griminess of that Gotham/New York/70s. All of that is amazing. You're like, man, I love looking at this from a cinematography perspective. All of it. And you're like, man, I'm really immersed in this New York. It's not Gotham. It's New York. To its credit. But then you're watching the wonderful performance by Joaquin Phoenix. And everyone's doing a great job. And the guy played Thomas Wayne, everybody. And then you're just listening to what the movie is saying. And like Bo was saying, it's saying something that's very simple. But it's trying to make it more complex and sound more deep and edgy as it is. And I'm going in, I'm going to let you guys hate me right now for a moment. I've never been a real big fan of the Joker. One, because I was never a really big DC fan. And two,
I'm more of a Marvel boy myself.
Right. And
I grew into Marvel.
I'm a huge DC fan, but I'm sick of the Joker.
Right. And after seeing so many different Jokers, especially the Heath Ledger one that was put on such a pedestal over the course of my life, it's like, man, that was great. shut the fuck up about it. It's fine. There's other things that are great in this world. Watching this, I was waiting for this movie to win me over. And I was also waiting for this movie to turn me over and tap into the liberal part of my brain and be like, man, these incels and this white supremacy. And it didn't do either. It just kind of kept me in the middle where I was like, yeah, it's a crazy dude. Yep. And that's kind of all I was left with. I was like, man, that was really fun to look at. A lot of very funny sequences. One particularly with children involved.
Awkwardly funny.
Awkwardly funny. And I was really enjoying myself. But at the end of the day, like Bo said, I'm not going to watch this again, really. I'm not going to be like, hey, guys, you should go see it. It'd be like, nah. If you like cinematography, if you like Joaquin Phoenix, go see this. But otherwise, it's just another one of those kind of movies that edgy kids in high school are going to really, really love, and they're going to really
have... For all the
have,
wrong reasons.
Yeah, and they're going to be like, it's so artsy, and you don't understand the darkness, Dad, and then they're going to run with that.
Those Scarface shirts are going to turn the Scarf- into Joker
yeah.
shirts?
Yeah, they're going to bring back airbrushed Scarface Joker shirts.
The Walter White shirts?
The Walter, all of them.
Am I driving down East 7th Street, and I'm going to see blankets hanging up?
You're right.
Joker's face
exactly.
on down to the flea market. You'll be able to pick those up cheap.
People are going to start wearing cheap 70s suits, and they're going to start idolizing him for all the wrong reasons, because this movie, once again, is just like, one thing I was thinking about at the end of this movie was, okay, he has to have his comeuppance. He's a bad guy. Bonnie and Clyde, they get mowed down at the end of it, and it ends on them dead. I'm like,
spoiler.
Ah, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's an old movie with crazy killers.
Just kidding.
But this movie, I mean, I thought like, okay, there's going to be some sort of repercussions for all this, and there really isn't. And I'm like, wow, this is going to hit some people in the wrong way. And people say this is going to be an incel thing.
It's interesting you say about like that there being no repercussions, because it was kind of a going back to saying, did this story have to be about the Joker instead
right.
of not a totally character that has nothing to do with comics?
Right.
Because you're stuck in the box of, well, there can't be any real repercussions because he becomes the Joker.
Right. And, I don't know. And people
there aren't any real repercussions for Travis Bickle either.
Yeah, why right. doesn't Gotham have the death penalty, by the way?
Yeah, right.
I'm not a death penalty guy, but if the Joker existed in real life, I'd be making an exception.
You can't kill somebody if they're actually insane.
Yeah, right. Well, that Gotham should change that rule.
Right. It's the 70s, all right? It's the 70s.
Wow, your wife really is a social worker, isn't she?
but all in all, people are like, oh, is it going to kill the incels are going to take over? There are some things in here that dumb people and or mentally twisted people will read the wrong way.
Just say Corey.
I'm not going to say that. No, because he's actually in the camp that nothing should be censored. All art is freedom. He's a hippie in that regard.
Yeah,
and here,
I know, I was kidding.
And here it's like, there's going to be like one thing I noticed. I will say this. He gets a gun and he's playing with the gun and he points it at the TV. And on the TV, it cuts from a white guy and it turns to a black guy. And a black guy singing, and he's just holding the gun towards this black guy on the screen. Like, that's only like one of seven black guys in this whole movie. And he's holding a gun to
him. Don't point a gun at that guy.
Right, at the TV guy who's singing a song. And it's like, there's going to be things like that the wrong people are going to pick up on. And I'm like, fuck, if this causes people to shoot people,
no,
it's going to
no
be.
Movie, no movie. Well, movies don't cause violence.
No, but what movies I will don't. Say. What I will say is that
you were about to start a fight just a second ago.
Right.
Yeah, you were about to say that.
He was about to shoot all of us
this
right now.
This is about incels, goddammit, and I'll kick your ass if you say no.
But there's going to be people that will read this wrong, and then they're already crazy and be like, I blame the Joker, and it's not the movie's fault, because the movie didn't say anything enough to rally people one way or the other, and I think that's a shame.
But if you stare at anything...
Also,
any,
it's Linda's fault.
If you stare,
Linda should've fucked you.
If you stare at anything with the intent to find something in it, you're going to find that.
Right, but the idea is that it didn't actually say anything too strongly, and therefore, I don't think anybody can pick anything out of this. And so the people that are in a hubbub about it being incel and this and that, there are elements of those, but it really not saying it, then again, it's not saying anything else. And I think that's my biggest problem, is that the things it is saying, it's stuff I already know. It's stuff that people already know. And it's just a matter of, are we going to do something about it, or Joker's going to be running around? And quite frankly, it's just going to be Joker's running around. And they're going to be crazy. They're going to kill five guys and then go to prison, and that's it.
No, Thomas Wayne is president.
Yeah.
I hope that Trump's career ends with him putting on Joker face makeup and starting to shoot his whole cabinet.
Smile.
I really want that to be the end.
Smile.
Please, oh, for future history class purposes,
right?
Let that be the way it ends.
Just let the record stand. I did not agree to that. So
future generations, if you're listening to this, I was not on.
Yeah, McConnell could take a bullet. I wouldn't mind.
You know,
that's on record forever. And you know what? I'm not saying it should happen.
Delete this.
I'm just saying I wouldn't mind.
You mean the president himself is not subtly suggesting
if you're listening
that
we should kill people who he disagrees with? Yeah. So I think we're okay.
I mean, back in the old days, they dealt with people in a certain way, okay? They punched them in a bathroom and said, never mind. I'm not going to spoil that part. But
I'm just saying, if you were to kill the whistleblower, I would pay for your defense.
Well, no one rid me of this meddlesome priest.
That's exactly right.
But yeah, I guess
it's my I'm not going to get that reference, bro.
What is your rating?
Are we doing out of 5 out of 10?
Whatever you want. That's the reason we call it the arbitrary rating.
Yes.
Some people, like Lara, always chooses to totally break the system.
She's like,
I give it math out of duh.
Just as valid.
I hate new math.
I'm gonna give it 7.5 incels out of 10. Because I mean the thing is that man, it's so fun to watch, and there are some shocking things, and there are some fun, exciting things, and then there's a lot of stuff where it's just like I don't care, or it's very predictable. I think that's the other worst part. I'll leave it at that. Is that there are some parts that are very predictable, and I'm like, well, I could see that coming a mile away. I wish it would just kind of speed it up a little bit, but that's for me.
What about Marco?
You know. So much has already
been
said about
this one. We're
going
to have to go all the way back to the Civil War.
That's right.
Back in your day.
No. No, you. Okay. So much has been said about this movie, even before it opened. I've already kind of said that I think what you want to, how you're going to view this movie, you've probably already made that.
Stop pegging me, dude!
And,
Pegging's
a different thing.
I was going to say, do you know what that is?
Yeah.
That's a whole different podcast.
Stop. International podcast Women's Day is later.
My point is, the problem with this movie is that it is, in many respects, quite good. The problem is, people are going to read way too much into it, and there's not enough, and there's not enough in this movie to read into, and that is the fault of Todd Phillips, who I think desperately wants this film to be taken so seriously. Until you start asking some hard questions, and then he starts shrugging. He goes, well, hey, it's just a movie. You know,
hey, there
it's
is like, no punchline.
You know, which one is it, dude? You know, you can't just make a mindless entertainment or a message movie and then change your attitude depending on whether someone's criticizing you or complimenting you. You have to live and die by that. And I don't think he puts enough, as Bo said, there's not enough meat on this particular skeleton here. And I wish there were more, because then I could say so much better things about it. This is just a good movie. Mm-hmm. We live in a time where it's like, this movie has to be a masterpiece, or it has to be like a threat to human civilization. It's just a fucking movie. It's not better than most movies. It's not worse than most movies. It's just kind of a movie. Maybe it's a little bit better than most movies because, hey, that lighting's really good. No, it is beautiful to look at. I love that horrible, wretched, terrible New York, which real New Yorkers all hated. We all loved it because we didn't have to live there.
That's why I love the HBO show about the porn period in New York before it got cleaned up.
I was there before it became, you know, beautified. I mean, like, where are the crack dealers? Where are the stockbrokers pissing in the alleyways? Why hasn't someone...
Stockbrokers the ones who were pissing in the alleyways?
I saw guys in three-piece suits down in Times Square pissing in alleyways. God only knows, you know, with limos parked outside.
How much did you charge them for the blowjob?
Well, at the time, I had very low standards. I think it was just like a six-pack of Molson or something. Either way.
Canada's real close.
You know, hey, those were import prices, dude.
Right.
Imports. So anyway, this film is not as good as it wants you to think it is. But it's not as bad as some people are going to tell you. Is it an incel thing? Only an idiotic incel will really think this movie is about him. Only an idiot who would, like, dress himself up as the Joker and shoot up a place because some girl wouldn't call him back. Or thought she deserved to, that he deserved a blowjob because, you know, he took her to Olive Garden and paid for everything.
Hey, soup salad and breadsticks are expensive in these economies. Okay?
Hey, you know, those are the chances you take, man. So
soup salad and unlimited PPs.
Like, dude, I'm sorry. Olive Garden now has a deal where you can get, like, a lifetime free breadstick pass, okay? You can just, like, pay for that.
I think in Nevada there's an Olive Garden where you can get the happy ending and you just get everything. Soup salad. It's the soup to nuts menu.
Salad and
so anyhow,
extra ranch, please.
Ooh. No, the Bunny Ranch is going to sue them for that. That's a trademark infringement. That's their deal. So anyway, what I'm saying, guys, is this is just a movie. It's not going to change your life. I think it's a good movie. It just suffers because we've put so much on it. And therefore, the expectations are completely unrealistic. If you go to this movie and you think, hey, I like this movie, great, that's cool. Why don't you go back and look at some other really classic movies that this movie inspired? If you want to see something that's maybe a little more edgy. Or as a friend of mine described it, this is, yeah, some people will think this is edgy. This is not your older brother's Heath Ledger movie. So what? The point is, go see it, but don't bitch to me about it if it's not a masterpiece or if you're just up in arms. Because
yes,
if this movie is like the worst movie you've seen all year,
shitty.
Go you know, see and that's valid. That's valid. But like I said, hey, you know, you can always sneak into the theater if you want to be a real anarchist and stick it to the man.
That'll be a pussy.
Yeah.
Go fucking sneak into the theater.
Just go in. Yes, tell them you're there to see a
this
bomb.
This is oneofus.net,
yeah.
Where our motto is, don't be a pussy, do crimes.
That's right. Hey, do BK, what I do did crime. Back in the day.
Go see Dora the Explorer in its seventh week.
You do what I did back in the day. You go pay to see Abominable or Dora or whatever, and you go to the bathroom, and you wait until you know the guys have cleared the hallway, and then you sneak into the R-rated movie. That's how it was.
That's how you I know? Saw Alien.
Yeah, fuck yeah. So anyway, guys, I'm going to wrap mine up because I know Chris needs to go next. I give this is a shining piece of mediocrity and a very well-crafted piece of pop, but it ain't nothing more than that. I give this 6.5 out of 10 flaming limousines.
I'm not terribly surprised we all had a lot to say, but it's funny to me that so much of what you guys are saying are like, it means nothing, it means nothing. I actually found this interesting in almost a Godardian sort of sense.
Get and the that, fuck out of
yeah,
here.
No, you it made now. Me think of Weekend. All I was right. like, here's this fucking shit is chaos. It's unsurprising that any human being is going to have an extreme reaction to this, but what is the answer? And I kind of prefer films that don't hand you an answer, that go, this is an fucking terrible situation. I don't know what the answer is. And I think that's what Phillips is chasing after here. Now, on the downside of this film, he is copping so heavily from Scorsese's early films that it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like the guy you see at a party who clearly has his favorite celebrity or whatever and starts to act like him and dress like him, and you're like, dude.
It's the guy at the party who pegs you down and starts trying to explain jazz to you. Ooh.
That's
hey, don't
you,
talk about
though.
Mark Thomas. Will you stop talking about Ken Burns?
I mean, it's a like you said, there's direct reference after direct reference to Scorsese's films in this thing where I'm like, come on, stop it. You don't need, it's, you're embarrassing yourself, quite frankly. I mean, even to the point of like, I don't know how much they paid De Niro to show up in this thing, but like,
so
obviously,
Rain is going to come and make balloon animals over these streets.
Obviously, there was no question to Phillips that he wasn't going to make it without De Niro. He was like, oh, this shit is happening. You better believe that. But Joaquin Phoenix is just a goddamn, as in terms of acting, a ray of light in this movie. He is incredible. I found this movie so incredibly watchable because of his performance. He's constantly just tilting and turning. He's a
so much
crazed,
acting.
Murderous Don Quixote of the Gotham world. And I
and
really...
And he dances in slow motion like no crazy person would ever do, right?
I do like that he does get more graceful the more
I think that's in the DSM. I think it's like no crazy person ever dances in slow motion.
Yeah, well, I've been telling the person who lives behind the 7-Eleven near me, who thinks he's the president of Burundi, to knock it off with the dancing because no one's buying it.
I genuinely found him tremendously watchable. The film is all he's in almost every frame of the movie. I'm most annoyed when it feels like it's got to cling back to the Batman storyline because I'm like, I'm not really all that interested in that part of it. And it feels like the movie is limited by its need to address that stuff. I'm like, I don't care. Go back to just watching Joaquin Phoenix and his descent into madness.
You mean Arkham State Hospital?
Right, I don't mind stuff like that, but I mean where it starts tying in Thomas Wayne and his family. Like, oh, we got to see the pearls hit the ground.
Oh my god!
We got a Batman
origin too.
I thought that they would stop doing that, and I thought this movie was good enough to not do that.
I thought there was why not? I just was
throwing in Zorro the Gay Blade. Instead of Zorro, yeah, that, I thought that was funny.
That's the movie that has traumatized Bruce Wayne. I love that. A George Hamilton flick.
But
what's that guy up to? Anyway,
we make jokes about it, and they did it. It's like you read the internet. You should know that people don't want this.
I'm not sure Todd Phillips does read the internet.
There's got to be a producer.
To comic book
he's got a Google search alert just for Todd Phillips is awesome, and that's it.
Because some people are going to cringe really hard.
And this movie never would have worked without Phoenix in it, frankly.
You don't want to see this with Jared Leto?
One and only guy who could have pulled this off and given it real gravitas.
Shia LaBeouf.
And it does have real... Shut up.
I'm just saying.
It does have real... Joker. It does have real gravitas. And I think that it actually does pose some interesting questions. I do agree with the anger it's discussing. I do understand with what it's saying. I also understand the argument, it also feels a little irresponsible, but I am the first person to say, I don't want art to be limited about what might set the world on fire.
Well, the thing is, violence always has a motivation. Mm-hmm. There's greed, there's revenge, there's revenge against society. It's never a fucking movie. No one saw a movie and said, I'm going to go kill people.
It wasn't movie
that has never...
The Battlefield Earth got me close, though.
But your motivation was revenge.
Yeah.
You didn't...
A movie is just the final match lighting a fuse that was already there and ready.
You want to talk about violence? Fucking access to firearms.
Yeah.
Movie doesn't inspire violence. It just inspires what you're going to cosplay.
Nobody who wasn't going to go and cause violence did it entirely because they saw a movie Joker.
Exactly.
You know, is all I'm saying. They may choose to pull the iconography from it, but they were going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Something was going to set them off. It could have been a JRPG or one of my cats that's often... gotten me close to start causing some violence at points.
Monkey has caused me to kill.
Fucking Holden Caulfield, that bastard.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I actually genuinely enjoyed this film. I thought it was just so watchable. I felt so bad, Zach, when you told me how much you hate it, because I was like, I really enjoyed this whole thing. I think it's nowhere near flawless, but it's a... For someone who likes... horror movies and films about crazy people, which makes up the bulk of my watching, to be fair. I found this really something that I could get into. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 times Zach look at me like I was crazy during this review.
Come on. You didn't see the guy sleeping there, right in the audience, right in the front row, just asleep.
That was you.
Just smile.